This is Tom Madden. It's March 20th, 2003. I'm at the home of Jerry Bingner at 601 Washington in La Grande. And today, Jerry is going to, for the Union County Oral History Project, Jerry is going to be talking about a number of things. But one of the issues, Jerry, that since you were the proprietor with your spouse for such a long time, Joel's Grocery, I know one of the issues you wanted to discuss today was Joel's Grocery, which was at the corner of Washington and Cedar, correct?
Yes.
So would you like to begin by talking about the Joel's a bit? Anything you want to say about history, background, anything, Jerry?
I'd be delighted. The origin of the story should begin with my mother's life. She lived at the end of Adams Avenue as a young lady. She and her widowed mother, my grandmother Joel, had moved here from Missouri after the death of Grandmother Joel's husband. And Grandmother Joel came to La Grande following several of her brothers who had come here ahead of her. So my mother was in at that point in time, was a very small building. As a matter of fact, the original grocery store is the little house that sits west of the grocery store today. But she was in there one day, and the owner-operator was a man named Oscar Crossan. And my mother's told me this story, so I'm sure that this is the way it happened. But she asked Oscar what would be a good thing for her to fix for supper that night. And Oscar said, "Well, I don't have any idea. Fix whatever you want." My mother said, "If I owned this grocery store and somebody asked me that, I'd have a suggestion for that person." And Oscar said, "Well, if you're so darn smart, why don't you buy this place?" So at age 16, my mother bought the grocery store and became a proprietor. And the store was called Joel's Grocery, which at that time was her name. And it was in 1916. That was 1913. And then in 1916, she and my father were married. And he was the chief clerk for the superintendent.
Hold it. This thing. Excuse me.
This is crazy. Come
on, yeah. Let me go back and see just what we got here. I'm just wondering. Jerry, I think you were talking about your father and mother right after they'd gotten married. We had a little break there, so if you'd like to continue with that, go ahead.
Well, my dad was chief clerk to the superintendent of the Union Pacific Railroad, which was a very fine job for a young man at that time. But as several years went by, he thought there was a future in the grocery business, so he quit the railroad in 1923, and he and my mother moved the little store to the west, and then built the building that is the grocery store there today. That was in 1923, and then they owned and operated the store until 1946. And I got out of the Navy in 1946, and came home and immediately started to work in the grocery store. And I ran the store from July 1, 1946, until I sold the store to Dick and Connie Knowles in October of 1976. So I ran it 30 years and a little over 3 months. And the store was good to us, but I would kind of like to interject right here, perhaps a tribute to my wife, because I think that whatever success we had in the store would probably 80% Winnie's credit and 20% mine. And I always knew and was very proud of the fact that Winnie was smarter than I was. And she was a very intelligent gal. One of my early responsibilities in the grocery store, and I think probably I was 6 or 7 years old, was that when I came home from school each afternoon, my job was to go in the back room of the store and cut the strings off of 100-pound sacks of potatoes and dump them on the floor, and then I sacked them up in 10-pound paper sacks. We had an old platform scale that I weighed them on, and I usually had to do 200 or 300 pounds of potatoes each evening. And that was my first chore that I remember in the grocery store. In looking back during those years after I got out of the service and the store was mine, at that time in LeGrand there were 32 grocery stores, and today I would say there are three or four plus a few little mini markets in the service stations. But 32 grocery stores, that was a lot of them.
Were these all pretty much neighborhood stores?
They were almost all small neighborhood stores. If I remember right, early in the early 40s, there were either two or three Safeway stores. They were not one big market as we have today, but there were several smaller Safeway stores. And then they consolidated and built the store on the site of the old LeGrand Hotel. And then that building was eventually torn down, and the new one that's just recently, or in the process today, of being demolished was built then.
Where was that original Safeway, the old LeGrand Hotel? Where was that site?
That was on the corner of Adams and Fourth.
Oh.
Where the store is now being demolished.
Oh.
Since they built the new one at the far end of Adams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that let small grocery stores stay in business in competition with the big stores like Safeway and Albertsons was a reliable and helpful wholesaler. And I was very privileged to have an outstanding wholesaler that got his start pushing a hand cart and selling groceries off of it. And that was Fred Myers. And Fred Myers bought a wholesale grocery out of Spokane, Washington, called Roundup Grocery. And he became my chief source of supply for many, many years. And Fred had a lot of sympathy with the small grocerman, and he let us stay in business by selling us groceries that enabled us to be fairly competitive with the big stores. And I'll always take my hat off to Fred Myers. I didn't follow in his footsteps and become the owner of a grocery chain, but I felt a successful grocer.
How is his name spelled?
Fred, and then Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, and of course that's the Fred Meyer chain of stores that's in the Portland.
This was the Fred Meyer.
Oh yes, yes.
Okay.
He owned that big grocery, that big warehouse in Spokane that my groceries came out of. He was a nice guy. Winnie and I were married in September of 1948, and we raised four children in that grocery store. And I have a humorous little story to tell. Winnie and I were married September 12th, 1948, and on February the 8th of 1950, we had our first child. And I had a lady come in the store right after David was born. Well, and she said, "Well, congratulations on the birth of a man-child." And I said, "Oh, we're very proud, happy to have a son." And she looked at me and she said, "And now, when were you married?" And I said, "September the 12th." And I didn't tell her it was 18 months before.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and said, "Well, I thought so." she went to her grave, I'm sure, thinking what a rat I was. But that's beside the point. The thing I remember most about the grocery store is that to make it successful and to make it a paying concern, We worked. Winnie and I worked long, hard hours, often 70 or 80 hours a week. And I think a lot of people don't realize how many hours we actually put in. One of the reasons that there were added hours is we worked a lot in the evenings. We sold custom beef. All the cutting and wrapping of beef for our customers was done after the store was closed.
And you did that yourselves?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a meat cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I was a meat cutter. In the fall, we also cut deer and elk. Basically, we did that for our customers. I didn't particularly enjoy that particular part of the meat cutting operation. Too often we spent as much time cleaning the carcasses up before we could cut them as we did cutting them. A lot of people just didn't know how to properly take care of their animals after it was shot. So that's one of the things I really don't miss. Probably the number one thing I do miss out of the grocery store are all the nice people that were our customers. And on a scale of 1 to 100, I'd guess that most of my customers were about 98s. There were a few that were difficult. However, we must have given them good service because they didn't leave us, they were just difficult.
Well, I remember I was fortunate with my family to be your customer for a while. We moved into this neighborhood in 1975, and you were operating the store for at least another year, and we then were customers of the Knowles' for a while, too. But I can speak to that. I remember how good you and Winnie were as with your customers, and you had a real reputation for service and kindness to your customers. You really did. So
I mentioned long hours, and this is another thing that I'm sure that most people don't realize, that for years and years and years, Winnie and I got up at 2 o'clock one day a week and unloaded the transport. And that was Winnie caught the cases as they were set on rollers and rolled into the store. I hand-trucked them off to the rest of the store, but that made a long day when we went to work once a week at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that went on until we closed the store, until we sold the store. One of the other things that I would like to at least comment on, and that was some of the nice people that I had that worked for me over the number of years I was in business. And some of them were prominent in our community. Arnie Hallmark, who ran Hallmark's furniture store, and whose wife, Lorena, is still in town. Arnie worked for me for a number of years and was a wonderful man and a great guy and a lot of help to me. He was a worker. And a man that worked for me who's also now gone was J. Donald Wilson. And Don worked for me for a long time. And a lady that I was particularly fond of that worked in my store was named Alberta Vickers. And she just lived up the street of three houses, Tom. She was close. And then a man named Bernard Groose. And Bernard was a meat cutter by trade. And I had some trouble with meat cutters. They didn't seem to stay in one job very long at a time. And I finally decided it was time for me to learn to cut my own meat. And Bernard came in for a number of months after he got off work every evening. And we'd refill the meat case each evening, and he taught me how to cut meat. And then his wife, Billy, who lives at Island City today, worked for me, I think, about 17 or 18 years. And she was a wonderful person and a good employee.
How is their last name spelled?
Groose, G-R-U-I-S. And Billy is her nickname, and I won't tell you what her real name is because she doesn't like it.
We won't give away any secrets.
And incidentally, as part of the information, Jerry is my nickname. My name is Joel, Joel Charles Bingner. And there's a little family history there. I had an older sister, but I was the only man-child. And Grandmother Joel wanted the family name to carried on one more generation. So she asked my mother to name me Joel, which my mother did, but my mother always called me Jerry, and I've been Jerry all my life. So let's see.
So your mother's maiden name was Joel.
Was Joel, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where the name of the store came from. Why don't we cut that for a minute, Tom, while I stop and think if there's...
We just wanted to see if we could do a little more, or get a little more information about the store and the building itself. Just to clarify one thing, Jerry, on the Joel's Grocery building, you had said that the original store was in the house that's now next door to the west, and then after that the building was built?
Yes, my mom and dad built the building that's... the two-story building that's there, and it's had several additions, both east and west. And then when I got out of the service in 46 and bought the building from my folks and the business, I added the addition to the south, that is the single-story part of the business. That increased my square footage and floor space by about two-thirds and gave me a lot more ability to display merchandise, gave me a room to put a lot more merchandise. And we should probably also talk about the apartment upstairs, because that was a lovely place to live and to raise our four children. The apartment up there is much bigger than you realize. It has four bedrooms, a kitchen, and a large breakfast room, has only one bath. The living room is 16 by 40. It's almost big enough to be a bowling alley. It was a wonderful place for the kids to play, including football. I think I bought lots of glass shades for the lamps over the years as they got broken and tumbled to the floor. But we enjoyed living there. It was just a nice place, and it was so handy to get up and eat breakfast and just go downstairs, and I was ready to go to work. I didn't have to drive a mile or 5 miles or whatever. Just work was right there. And in thinking over the things that we did, Winnie used to, at 11:30 or 11:45, go upstairs, fix my lunch, and she would bring it down. And then if we'd get busy, maybe at 2:00 or 2:30, I'd get to go eat it. Sometimes I got to eat a hot meal, but not every day by a long ways. And what a wonderful woman she was to raise four kids in that store and to cook meals for us, three meals a day, and then work in the store in the evenings. And she also, she sewed her clothes and sewed both girls' clothes, including wedding dresses when the girls were married. So we...
Oh, go ahead. You were going to mention that.
I was going to mention that one of the things that I was very proud of in the store, I was the first grocery store in Le Grand that put in a wine department that has had other than the common things like Gallo wines and Ripple and so forth. We were very proud of the fact that we had a nice assortment of California wines and a small but very good quality amount of French and German wines. And I think we built quite a little business, and we educated people other than ourselves on good wines and the difference between Ripple and a fine bottle of Chardonnay. So we were proud of that.
Yeah, you said that today one of your daughters is in works in a winery at a winery in the Willamette Valley.
Yes, my daughter Becky is the foreman on the Kristen Hills Vineyard. And that's named for the vineyard owner's daughter, Kristen. And Becky is a teacher's aide, but she works in the vineyard most of the summer and frequently weekends. she hires the crew that harvests the grapes, and when the wine's ready to bottle, she helps bottle and label the wines. And if the owners there wish to take a weekend off, she runs the tasting room. So Becky is very knowledgeable about wines as well.
Well, it sounds like you really, you and Winnie educated yourselves a lot about wine to do that too.
We did. To sell premium grade wines, you had to know what you were talking about. And so Winnie and I both learned, and the man that taught us the most about wines was Charles R. Cater, a prominent attorney. And Charlie was I shouldn't use the word connoisseur, but he liked fine wines. And he liked to share his knowledge, and he did share that information and enjoyment of drinking good wines. With us, as well as many other people, and I owe Charlie a debt of gratitude. He's one of my favorite people. Always said, if I ever murdered a man in LeGrand, I wanted Charlie Cater to defend me. I don't know if that should be recorded, but anyway. Tom, I don't know just where we're going to go right now.
One other thing that we wanted to discuss today, or that you'd mentioned, Jerry, was some of the things that made neighborhood groceries different from their larger counterparts today. And Joel's Grocery was noted for some of these things, and one of them certainly was home delivery. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit?
You bet. That was just part of the service as I grew up in the grocery store, it was just one of the things we did. People would phone their orders in, and we would pick out the merchandise that they wanted, put it in sacks or boxes, and then it was delivered to the customers. That tradition, if you want to call it that, was started by my mother, who before she and my father were married, delivered groceries with a wagon and a mule. So the original delivery truck for Joel's Grocery was a wagon and a mule. One of the other things that we did was extend credit, and that's something that sometimes got us in trouble, but it also built a very loyal base of customers. We issued credit, usually monthly. When you came in, what you got was just written down on a pad. At the end of the month, you got a statement state that you owed so much money. Occasionally, we had people that we help for one reason or another. I can recall people that were, a railroader, for instance, that got hurt on the job. And we knew that sooner or later he would get a settlement from the railroad. And I carried him for 18 months. He didn't pay his grocery bill. And on the day he got his settlement, I can remember him coming in the store, paying his bill in full, and then he and his wife and Winnie and I dined out that evening. He took us out for dinner to show his appreciation for the fact that we had helped him over what was a very difficult time. Those kind of intimate connections with your customers are certainly different from the commercial aspects of grocery stores today. And I'm not sure that a neighborhood grocery store could handle that kind of competition today. I'm glad that I got out of the business when I did. And I should thank the community of LeGrand that supported me for over 30 years. And I'm truly grateful for the experience and for the loving customers that we had for so long. And I still see them, and I get lots of hugs even today from people that I knew many years ago.
Yeah, that's a wonderful memory. And Jerry, thanks very much for all your help today with this information. Thank you.